Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Eileen Cha. During the COVID pandemic, the Tappan Center got started at St. Louis County Library to offer people legal support and other services to get bench warrants recalled. What began as a pilot is now an established program. To date, the Tappan Center has helped more than 3,300 people with more than 5,000 recalled warrants. And that success owes a great deal to three P's: purpose, place, and partnership. Public defender Jamia Steele can speak to this firsthand. She's the co-founder of the Tappan Center. Jamia, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And also returning to share firsthand insights is Justice Services Specialist at the St. Louis County Library, Miranda Gibson. Miranda, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you so much.
So, Jamia, let's get to some of the basics here. We have talked about the Tappan Center on the show in the past, but remind us exactly what the center offers.
We offer a lot of different types of services, but the main service that we do focus on is getting warrants removed or warrants recalled. We do that in St. Louis County. I work at the St. Louis County Center, so specifically low-level felony offenses. And then I know the Tappan Center also does warrant recall or removals of municipal warrants as well. I know Miranda can speak more to that. Mm-hmm. And then also if people come into the actual library, we do provide some other wraparound services through the Bail Project, which is also one of the stakeholders.
And can you give us an example of what these low-level felonies might be?
Oh, a low-level felony would be like possession of a controlled substance.
Okay.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. And a bench warrant. What is a bench warrant and how does one happen?
So we actually call them a warrant in state court. And it can happen various ways. You could miss court. Because, you know, maybe you had work, you couldn't get called off. We've seen child care issues where they're not able to schedule child care, so they would miss court. We've also seen a lot at the center where people get notification of a court date and it goes to an old address, so they don't get notification of it. And because they didn't know, it's a failure to appear and a warrant is issued. So a warrant could be issued for various types of reasons.
Mm-hmm. And this really can happen to anyone, right?
Absolutely anyone, mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, the service and, you know, the purpose part, Miranda, why is this service specific to warrants needed? You know, what is causing so many people to miss their court dates? We heard a little bit from Jamia, but tell us a little more.
Sure. So like Jamia said, this can really happen to anybody. Court dates are missed for all kinds of reasons that are just kind of life circumstances. People might not be able to get child care. They can't get off work. They've just started a new job. We've had a nursing student before that couldn't change her clinical schedule, so she had to miss that court date. And these things have very real consequences. And even if it's a mistake, like Jamia said, we have a lot of people who miss their court date because they didn't know that they had it. Over half of our clients that come in cite insufficient notice as the reason why they missed that court date. Sometimes we'll even see that notice was returned undelivered and that it was the only way that the court couldn't get a hold of them. That wasn't their correct address, but they still got that warrant. And so hopefully those happen in a place where we work with that court and we can get that warrant resolved and get a new court date for them so they're back in good standing.
Mm-hmm. And you've just mentioned a nursing student. Are there any other examples that you can provide of people who have come in for help and face some of the circumstances you mentioned?
Sure. So we've also recently had someone that exact situation of they didn't get notice of the court date. They didn't know that this ticket had turned to warrant status. They went to apply for a job and they had gotten pretty far along in the process, but their background check came back with that warrant. And so that employer couldn't proceed with them. Mm-hmm. So they contacted us and we Luckily, we're able to work with that warrant. It was in a court that we work with, and we're able to get it resolved, and he could continue with that application process once that case was no longer in warrant status.
Mm-hmm. I understand that there are also people who are, they're afraid to come and get help. There's fear about, you know, addressing the warrant. Jamia, what have you experienced with that?
Yeah, some people, they think sometimes it's just too good to be true. So they are afraid that they'll just walk into a trap. And that's not the case at all. When we first created the Tappan Center, we were very mindful that this is a scary process for everyone. No one wants to just go to jail because you could sit in jail for an uncertain amount of time until it gets cleared or you see a judge. So what we put into place was when we decided on the St. Louis County Library, the St. Louis County Prosecuting Attorney's Office agreed to not be on site. That way they work remotely and it makes the people more comfortable. On top of that, we also have it where you can call in and ask for a warrant to be recalled or removed, or you can also email us as well. And so we have other ways that we can, you know, reach out to get that warrant removed instead of just coming in.
Mm-hmm. And Miranda, are there some clients who are victims of crimes themselves, and that is part of the fear or intimidation they feel about seeking help?
For sure. Yeah. Unfortunately, we have had a lot of occurrences where a person will come in, they're a victim of a crime, but they are so afraid to pursue police involvement to report that crime because they don't want the police to come get that report, but also run their name as well. And then a warrant might show up for that failure to appear. And so this usually occurs with domestic violence situations. And so women generally will come to us, want to get this taken care of because they just want to be, you know, in good standing with the police, with the court, to be able to pursue justice for their own cases.
Mm-hmm. There's also this element of stigma that is attached. Jamia, you're nodding. Tell me about that.
I think there is a stigma when you have like true crime and all this out there. There's a stigma attached to a warrant, and it shouldn't be. And the reason why I said it is because, as I said earlier, there are many other reasons why a warrant is issued. In my career, I've never seen where someone just willingly did not want to appear in court or just blow off court. I haven't had that before. It is honestly people, I've had people that just forget. They have so much other stuff going on in their lives, they forget about the court date. Again, warrants could be issued because you cannot get off work. Some employers are not flexible with taking off time. We had the recent catastrophe with the tornado. Some people have lost their homes, they lost their cars, the ability to get to court. So there really should not be such a stigma around a warrant, because it doesn't mean that a warrant was issued because of some nefarious reason. There are other reasons why a warrant gets issued, which, again, through the Tappan Center, with the cooperation with the St. Louis County Prosecutor's Office, they understand that. And that's why we have so many people buy in to the center. Matter of fact, we have probation officers that send people to the Tappan Center to get their warrants recalled. And we've had court clerks that have told people that call about a warrant, hey, contact the Tappan Center. They should be able to help you.
Mm-hmm. On the note about place and how that is part of the success of this program, why host these services in a public library, Miranda?
Sure. So whenever we were first talking about launching this program 5 years ago, we knew, I worked at the jail at the time. I wasn't with the library at the time. So I worked for a jail reduction grant through the library. And so our grant team, the public defender's office, the prosecutors, and the bail project, we all came together, wanted to do this program, but wanted to be really intentional about where we hosted it. As Jamia had said, we didn't want it to seem like a trap. We didn't want it to have it in the court or the justice center or any of these kind of traditional law enforcement centers. We really wanted it to be somewhere that people would be happy and feel welcome going to. So the St. Louis County Library was a great place. We really wanted to host it there. So I reached out to them, and the executive director, Kristen Sorth, and the deputy director, Eric Button, were immediately enthusiastic about the idea and were willing to give the Tappan Center a home. And that's where we've done it every week on Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. there, and continue to do so. And we were just so happy with that library setting, mm-hmm. Because it's a place where people feel comfortable going. It's family friendly, and it's already a place where people get so many services from. It seemed like a perfect fit.
Mm-hmm. Jamia, it's been almost exactly 5 years since the center's launch. I think September 22nd was the yes. anniversary. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's very exciting.
I mean, do you feel that it has lived up to initial expectations? And again, it started as a pilot, right?
It did. We saw the need because of the stay at home and people not being able to have access to get to the courthouse. And then the courthouse was closed. And then we were doing court dates through the internet, through Zoom or WebEx, things like that. So once we got out of the quarantine and we were going back to going in person in court, I wasn't sure how much longer there would be that buy-in from the court to continue this type of service. But it has actually exceeded my expectations, again, of the buy-in from the bench, meaning the judges, as far as this resource, because we really are getting people back invested into their case, mm-hmm. because it helps everyone out. It gets the client back into court to resolve their case, whichever way they're going to resolve it. We have the, if there's an alleging victim or whatever that's on the other side of the case, they get resolution, and then the judge gets to move a case off of their docket. So it helps everyone all the way around. And so the fact that we are still continuing it, and that people are referring them to us, and we're getting more municipalities involved with the Tappan Center. And we also have a St. Louis City Tappan Center that has now been created. It's just gotten bigger and bigger, and I'm excited to see where else it goes.
Mm-hmm. What have you heard, Jamia, from judges, parole officers, and clerks about why they are in favor of this?
The main thing is that they want this case to get resolved. So instead of a warrant just sitting out there, and then they have to, because they have to, if the person appears, they get arrested, then they're in the jail. And so they are big proponents of it because it gets back on the docket and hopefully it gets moved, and it's something that is off of their plate. So there is incentive on their end too to keep referring people to the Tappan Center, mm-hmm. which is great.
Miranda, Jamia has just mentioned the growth of this program. How has the Tappan Center specifically expanded over the past 5 years?
Sure. So it has definitely expanded in terms of people who are using our services, which we're so happy about. With our five-year anniversary, this week we also hit our milestone of 5,000 warrants recalled in those 5 years. And a lot of that has actually just been this year. So we've really seen an expansion in word of mouth of, friends and families sharing their stories of them getting help with the Tappan Center and reaching out to others who could get that service as well. So they're coming in. We've also seen a lot of growth in just people who are willing to be partners with us. So now we have 6 municipalities that are on board. So now we can help with warrants that are issued in Florissant, Kirkwood, Manchester, University City, Webster Groves, and the City of St. Louis Municipal Courts. So we're thrilled that that has been another component of how we're able to provide these services. We used to only do misdemeanors and felonies, but quickly saw that the need was much greater in our region. The municipal court system can be very confusing. There's dozens and dozens of municipal courts, and it's very complicated, especially if you have cases in multiple jurisdictions. So we're thrilled to have that expansion. And then, yeah, now we have the St. Louis City tap-in site as well. And we've even expanded the model where sites outside of the St. Louis region are doing this tap-in center program. So we're Kansas City, Missouri, and also Columbus, Ohio has a tap-in center program in their cities as well.
What kinds of questions do you get from folks outside the St. Louis region about what the Tap-In Center has managed to do? Jamia?
I think a lot of the questions are, how do you do it? Like, how do we start this? Who do we get involved? I think that's the main question that we get asked when they are interested and want to get something off of the ground. And so when I've been asked that question, it really is, who in the community do you think could help support this type of service in your area? And the other important stakeholder that you're going to need would be the prosecutor's office in whatever area that it is.
Mm-hmm. If you could wave sort of that proverbial wand and make some change to the legal system as it relates specifically to the way that warrants are issued and court no-shows are handled, what change would you make first?
Wow. I mean, I do feel that sometimes warrants are issued so fast. And I think my wand would be, if someone doesn't show up, just go ahead and reset it for another day and send out another notice. Now, as I said earlier, we have seen so many people come in because they didn't get notice because they went to an old address. And so in those circumstances where it's not that, you know, people do have access to CaseNet, so they are able to double check and see if a new court date's been issued. Because again, maybe they could not get off of work, but they can go to another date. So I do wish that warrants weren't issued so fast, because I do know on the other end, the process to go through to get a warrant removed by the clerk takes some extra steps. And I know they don't like really doing that either. Mm-hmm. So that would probably be my magic wand want mm-hmm. on that.
Miranda, what would your wand conjure?
My wand would be similar. I think that warrants are issued too quickly and without a lot of nuance taken to the circumstances behind that. So I think it would be great if the courts could have just more accessibility for people who, if they are in that situation where they've applied for a job or tried to get their license renewed and found out they have a warrant, they could go to the court without that fear of arrest. There was a number that they could call that would actually respond to their question. That's also a lot of times our clients' issues is 80 to 85% of our clients don't have an attorney. So they don't have anyone to advocate for them to explain, hey, judge, my client had work. Judge, my client, their grandfather passed away the day before this court date. They were at a funeral. And there's no one to do that. And for a person without an attorney or an advocate, they don't know how to contact the court, if they should, what to say, even if they could. And they're definitely afraid to go in person to do that because they're afraid that they're going to get arrested on that warrant, even if they're trying to do the right thing mm-hmm. and explain their situation.
Have you had people come back to tell you like how things are going after you've helped them, Miranda?
Yeah, we do get really nice messages a lot, and that's just the best feeling in the world. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will come back, especially if they're trying to get a job, and they'll say, I was able to get through the process and got this job, or they were able to get their car back, they're able to get their license, they're able to get their security job. That's often a one that comes up. And so it's so nice to see, something that we were able to do have such an impact in someone's life and for such a mistake or something they weren't even aware of. So for us to be able to fix that is just the best feeling in the world.
Mm-hmm. The future of this program, so we've just hit 5 years. What do you hope for the future, Miranda?
I hope we continue to grow. So I hope that this conversation and others in the region will get more impact or more buy-in for people who need these services. Also, just more support from the community to support these types of services, these alternative kind of resolutions to these problems that we face. And also just to continue to grow the number of municipalities that we work with. Mm-hmm. That municipal court system is pretty complicated. And so I would love to be able to continue to patchwork that together to be able to increase the number of people we can serve.
Mm-hmm. Jamia, what kind of community support, additional support, would be most helpful at this point?
I think whatever more resources that we see that clients that come in express that they need. Like I said, I know we have the Bail Project that is looped in with us, and what they are able to do is provide transportation to and from court when we have clients that have the transportation issue. So other resources that we are notified of or that they mention to us, like, oh, I really have this or I have this issue. Like Miranda said, I would like to get more community stakeholders that can bring more to the table. And again, that would continue having the bench and other people buy into the center as they do now.
Mm-hmm. And in about 30 seconds, Jamia, for those who want to get some assistance, what should clients bring with them to the center?
I would say if you are coming to the center, if you miss court because of a doctor's appointment or work or something, you can bring some proof of that because that can always be provided to me to show to the prosecutor that's handling it. But honestly, just bring yourself. Don't be afraid. We are here to help you.
Mm-hmm. Jamia Steele is a public defender and co-founder of the Tap-In Center. And Miranda Gibson is Justice Services Specialist at the St. Louis County Library. Miranda and Jamia, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.